I'm Alicia.
And I'm Monica.
Today we're going to talk about how we grew our salon from 8 employees to 80.
Why don't we talk about, like, how it started? Who came with?
Well, like, going all the
way back? In the day in 2014.
Once upon a time, there was...
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of reasons why and how we got to where we are. But looking back and doing, like, a deep dive valuation on the company's growth... There's definitely five key components that I think we followed that got us to this point that we're at today, which now we have upward of 80 employees, 3 salon locations, and we're just going to keep on going as long as we have people that want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about how I wasn't going to come?
Hey, you were going to open a gym?
No, that was after. But I was like scared to death.
In the very
beginning. I have to say, out of everybody,
I wasn't 100% sold.
I never knew this story.
Yeah.
Wait, so actually, let's talk about that. Alicia was actually not sold, and she got the phone call from our old boss that was like, "Hey, you're fired."
I was like, "What?
Well, wait, hold on. Wait, we got to reel back because people don't understand the whole story from the beginning. So you guys were at a hair salon.
Yeah, they called
all work together.
That this one was opening a salon. I was still on the fence. I had just bought a house. I was scared shitless. Like, I couldn't lose my job. Like,
Yeah, she wasn't in. If that's shocking to the universe that her and I could have potentially gone in a direction that wasn't together.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to go eventually. I just didn't know. I was
out
just
of the gate.
Scared.
You know, she was definitely not 100%.
My
fate made that decision for you.
Yeah, pretty much. But
so to any owners who may be experiencing a walkout, never assume that your people are gone because at least have a conversation, maybe.
Yeah, don't just start firing people.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Privé started with those 8 people.
One of the founding factors from the gate was instilled by my dad. Our dad.
He's
their
your
sisters.
Dad too.
Yeah.
But basically just... You know, like, even in those moments where, you know, shit hit the fan with the old salon, we're all getting text messages, we're all getting phone calls, we're fired, you know, right off the bat, there's 7 people gone. I can remember in that moment, my dad actually walking in this space.
I walked into this space, and I can remember it vividly, too.
Yeah.
And you guys were all in here crying.
He was livid. He was like, you know, he's a businessman. He's an entrepreneur construction. He's not dressed in suits every day.
No.
He's raw. But walked in and was just like, what the hell's wrong with these people? Like, they're just, you know, if this were me, I would be like, how can I keep you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas the delivery was complete opposite of that. It was basically like, if you even knew about this, you're gone. And not that we're going to dive too heavily into that, but that's to preface, I think, where the leadership and the goals of the company became real. Because my dad at that moment sat down and was like, listen, you take care of your people. That's it. Like, your only focus, your only priority right now is making sure that these people are taken care of and you do what you have to do to make sure that they are. And that was how we started. And we did what we had to do. I mean, we figured it out really quickly in that scenario because the salon that we were opening wasn't ready, but we made it work with some things. But I think ultimately that was the start of the Privé culture.
Yeah. And I think I kind of felt that immediately, like the foundation was being built. Cause I mean, you guys found a salon for us to work at until the salon was open. And yeah, I don't know. If
yeah. It was like fight or flight.
Or
like we were in it at that point and it was going to work and we were going to be, you know, we became like a family there.
Yeah.
It was
I specifically remember this one being like, guys, like, we're going to figure it out. Like, we got you. Like, if I have to pay your mortgage, I will. Like,
I don't know where I'm getting the money, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that was like a true moment where like that kind of culture was like set in. Are you crying right now?
No, I was actually laughing.
You little teary-eyed.
And my white eyeliner.
I would love to get
the inside of my eye
to
a little.
Cry on here at one point.
No,
that would be great.
I'll probably
but anyway.
Cry at some point. I mean, definitely down the road. But I do. I remember coming in here and seeing everybody all teary-eyed and. It was almost like I felt relieved because it didn't happen to me.
Yeah.
I didn't lose my job, but I feel like it was.
She's like, Dad, you're still paying me, right?
No. This was a blessing in disguise for you guys. Like, you didn't have to have that hard conversation and have to go to your boss and tell him, like,
no, you're right.
Hey, I'm leaving. Like, it was just like, I looked at this, like, you guys just, you just got to leave and you didn't even have to quit.
Yeah. Like, and it was also like a sign. Like,
it was. And we knew there were better things coming. So and I know it was questionable for you guys, but for me, like, I knew. I was like, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be huge. We got the best people we could have picked that we wanted to come. Mm-hmm. We got every single one of you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, except for Mia.
Mia came
later on, but she was one that we would have loved to have out of the gate.
Yeah.
But we get it. So, yeah, I mean, I just feel like I knew. Yeah. This is better things were coming, so I wasn't scared.
Yeah.
So I think, like, number one in this, getting us from 8 to 80, this title that we're going to talk about, I think number one is culture. Yeah. And it was built that day.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It started with that foundation of...
We're in this together.
Oh, yeah.
And caring. Like, we legitimately, Mon and I, cared for each and every single one of those girls sitting mm-hmm. here. Because we knew, mm-hmm. like, you guys just went out on a limb for us and took a chance for us. So we owe you the world right now.
We're going to make it worth.
Yep.
So I think that drifts us right into what the next thing was, which was basically just like ridiculousness. Like my goal as a 26-year-old salon owner was to make this company the funnest place to be. Like,
We were in our party girl era. Like,
dude. It was like, looking back on it, it was the middle for me. It was the peak.
Yeah.
Right? 21 started, 23... Shit got a little wild. 26, I was like still, I mean, every cent I was making, I was blowing on partying. But anyway, yeah, like we were the main part of our life at that point, you know, like we were still in party girl era.
Yeah.
Like we were down to travel. I mean, we could bring up my bachelorette party.
Yeah.
Shout out to all y'all on that yacht.
Literally on
and the
yacht.
Captain.
Yeah.
Captain got some good...
I feel like in the beginning it was kind of like an accident, but like as we grew the team, it's like, all right, like what can we do next? Like,
but it was an accident, but it also was who each of us were. Like, we were all down for that.
Yeah.
We were all just in a really good place when we opened the salon. Yeah. We, you know, wanted to celebrate. We wanted to be together outside of work. We wanted to have as much fun as we could and do these crazy, extravagant things. And
off the bat, we were doing
tailgates and Miami and
mm-hmm.
and any industry event that was hosted in a place that was could potentially be fun, we were there.
We made our mark.
Yeah.
And we didn't just show up. We showed up in bold red dresses, every single one of us.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knew we were part of Privé.
Can we talk about the fact that we went to Jamaica? Well, I didn't go because...
Oh, you had COVID.
But, you know, taking the team to Jamaica.
That was so much fun. And it was such a huge thing for our culture.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, it was so good for me as a leader to be there because our company had grown so much. Mm-hmm. I feel like since COVID, our company grew a lot.
Yeah.
We were fortunate in that sense. And I know personally a lot of our team members, but when I got the opportunity to go sit at a pool bar or sit at, you know, on the beach next to somebody that I typically don't get to like have like long conversations with and learn about them. I learned so much about so many of our team members that I value that trip more than just like the fun times. Like I got to really know and dive deep into who people are and who their families are and what they stand for and outside of the salon. And it was a really cool trip for me.
So there's that value. And then there's also like, I feel like people from the outside see that and they're I want to work for them. Mm-hmm. Like, what are they doing? Like, even people that aren't in the industry will like reach out to me and be like, can I work for you?
It was crazy because I don't even think we had posted many videos or anything at the time, but we were getting flooded with applications.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when we came back? It was like months of people just applying and applying and applying. And I mean, I guess it's all word of mouth. They hear like where we were at and what we were doing, and everyone wants to be part of that. But
social media.
That's
what it was, I think.
And a disclaimer, if you're, you know, have any financial worries, I'm right there with you. We don't
from the CFO.
Yeah, we don't, you know, we don't come up for the entire cost for these things.
Yeah.
It's basically like us just organizing it and putting it all together. And, you know, sometimes we contribute to the cost. For Jamaica, we had some pretty cool like contests for them to earn money for their
we did contribute like a a starting point for them. We did give each employee that was coming.
Yeah. But just so you're like fully aware, we're not like spending thousands of dollars for no reason. No. It's basically,
I mean, we did spend thousands of dollars when we got there, even though it was an all-inclusive. We did host a welcome night with it. Yeah. Well, let's, a private terrace with a DJ, and that was really fun to kick it all off. So
I think, like, I can remember just a couple months back, you and I were both reading The Diary of a CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember, it's so funny to me at this point, because when all three of us are reading the same book, we all take away completely different things from it. So I call you that morning and I'm like, mind blown. I'm like, I figured it out. I know what it is. I know why we are successful. And you were like, why? And I was like, because we're absolutely absurd. And you were like, what are you talking about? They're like, I'm like, what?
I don't remember.
And I'm like, in the book, like, he talked about how he was doing like these crazy things that other people weren't doing. And there was this massive attraction. He was on the cover of all these magazines. And I'm like, I think that's what the draw is to us. Like, we do things completely differently than any other salon companies, not only locally in our market, but all over. You know, I think, like, you know, we have coaches, we have mentors that constantly are telling us, like, you know, you guys, whatever you're doing is working, keep it up. And I think that's massive for us. I think that we just, you know, this was a goal to do this Jamaica trip, and we never knew how we were going to pull it off. But to what you said, you know, we made it work. We, you know, as long as the draw was there and people wanted to go, we were going to make it happen. But anyway, I think that's a massive part of the growth and the success of the company.
The tailgates are a lot of fun. Everyone really looks forward to that. And we don't just have a tailgate where we all meet up. We have a catered tailgate. We have our own private bathrooms. We go out on a limb.
No one cares about the food.
No, I know, but we have DJs. I'm just saying.
Who's the DJ?
Who's the DJ?
Listen, we're not just like opening a tailgate in the parking lot of like the Link. I mean, we're having full blown legit tailgates. Like, I mean, as other owners, they probably have questions. Like, well, what do you mean you tailgate? What do you do? That's why I'm just trying to say, like, we don't just show up. We show up with caterers. We show up with cocktail tables and all the games and DJs and twerk contest. Really make it. Oh yeah, it's so much fun. It's to the point where like other people try so hard to join our tailgate and we let them. I mean.
But we show up and we care, and we really just want to know who the DJ is and if they're going to play Dreams and Nightmares.
Yeah. The biggest question.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Another big important part of how we grew our company from 8 to 80 employees was we provide a lot of knowledge inside the salon. And one of our biggest things is we can sit down with somebody that's interviewing and show them right off the bat a success blueprint. Yeah. Like, we have it figured out. Like, we have a map of what their career is going to look like with us. If they, you know, put in the time and the effort, and I mean, we guide them and mentor them along the way, but they have to put in the work, and they can get from here to here pretty quickly.
I'm actually curious from your perspective.
I have an experience that I like to share, and I feel like it truly is like a true testament to what you guys have built. With my first year at Privé as a stylist, I remember getting my W-2, and I had made like 50% more in that year than I did at my previous salon. That's like so amazing. Like, I remember opening my W-2, being with the crew, and I'm like, wait, like, this can't be real or right. And I don't know if you remember me coming to you and being like, dude, you see my fucking W-2? Like,
no, because that year I worked the entire year 55 hours a week and didn't take a dime, but yet still got a $7,000 tax bill from the government.
You got hammered.
You know, I'm like, damn, dude, I didn't take one dime from this place. I still owe you. But the accountant was like, yeah, you guys actually did pretty good in your first year, which was shocking.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like you guys provided an opportunity that I may not have been able to have at my previous salon. And I just think, as somebody who wasn't like, was about to turn 30 and like making six figures a year, like that's like truly incredible. And I feel like you guys really provided like such an opportunity to so many people.
Aww. That's awesome. Yeah, and it's nice that you weren't even 30 making that kind of money. But I gotta say, I mean, we have quite a few of stylists that work for us that are in that situation.
Right.
Attaining a six figure salary. Yeah. In your late 20s.
I think the biggest
is really attainable with us.
The biggest win is like that year was like so much fun. Like I had so much fun that year. I loved the people I worked with. I loved where I worked. I loved my clients. And like for that was just like an added bonus.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So thank you.
Well, you're welcome, I guess. It's interesting because I feel like you talking about this, my perspective on that year was completely different.
I'm sure.
And it was, I have no idea what the hell I'm doing, and I have no idea how I'm going to provide these people a career path. we couldn't afford to hire the consultant that we wanted to afford at the time because we were so scared. You know, we were just like in a scarcity mindset. I was terrified to blow any money because I needed to make sure you guys were paid. Mm-hmm. But we, at that point, I can specifically remember it was Lindsay who was chomping at the bit for goals. She kept coming to us like, you know, I need to know, like, what should I be focusing on? The company that we were at did provide.
No.
I mean, I don't remember any goals, but I feel like Lindsay did have them. I don't know.
It was blurred. It was a blurred.
Yeah, it was blurred. But she kept coming. Like, how do I, you know, what do I need to do to get a promotion? Yeah. And I had no idea how to answer that. So that was when we pulled the trigger. It was 1 year, a little over a year after opening, where we finally made Black Elite status on L'Oreal, and they sent us.
Oh my God, right? Yeah, but like, I mean, props to us. We made Black Elite status first year opening. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So, but that's what, you know, they sent us to a program that provided a career path for our company. And that was the start of it, you know, like, and that's what we have been so
immersed in.
Yes.
we went down to Tampa and we immersed into everything they had to offer, and we just absorbed it and learned it and brought it back to our team. And I can remember, though, do you guys remember the first meeting? I was telling Monica this yesterday. I don't know if you remember, Leash, but like the first meeting when we, oh yeah, you were there too.
Oh yeah.
When I was saying, I remember bringing this to the team and they were terrified of it. Mm-hmm. They were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like they were scared to death. And we were just like, guys, I mean, well, trust us. We're not going to steer you wrong. When you left your old salon, you came with us and it's been great so far. Like, you have to trust us. We know this is what we need right now.
It was the pricing structure. Yeah. Things were changing a little bit.
I think the only good thing that came out of that is I feel like we, the elder stylists, were pretty excited about that. And we kind of like, we're like, guys, it's going to be fine. Like, this is good for us. Like, we're going to, you know how we have to grow.
Yeah. But we definitely saw some resistance with it. Yeah.
We did. But since, you know, now, you know, here we are 10 years later, and the career path guide, being able to produce that and introduce that to a potential new hire, it's like they're mind blown by it. Oh, yeah. They love it. They know that they're okay. So there's actually like a plan for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not just signing up to come be a part of this company.
Yep.
And then, you know, I'm off in la la land and I have no idea how I'm going to get from point A to point B. So I think that that alone, you know, the career path guide, having an opportunity for them to see a map of how they're getting from point A to point B, is one of the other pieces that is very, very important.
And it's done like in steps too, which is good for them because it's not like we expect you to be here and there. And no, there's like going to be little steps along the way, stepping stones. So that's good.
Flexibility.
Oh, flexibility is huge for us. I think that definitely has grown our company because we are flexible.
I mean, the number one thing when people interview for our company and they hear that we don't require people to work Saturdays at a certain point, I feel like they're like, what? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I crack up at that because I do. I feel like when I signed on to be a hairdresser, I just signed my nights and weekends off for the rest of my life.
Like, that's it. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, you want to do this? All right. Oh.
Yeah. I can remember my mom. My mom did hair. So, like, a lot of times she couldn't make it to, you know, certain things because she had to work. And I was just like, oh, it's just her job. She works nights and weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even when I stopped working Saturdays, she was like, that's a big mistake.
Yep. I mean, think about some of the people that we have down at the suites as well. Like, I love seeing them hit the point where they're comfortable enough in their business to stop Saturdays.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, it's not, you know, it doesn't need to be necessary. For our specific company, Saturdays is our least amount of volume. Like, when we look at the numbers, that Saturday's not our biggest day.
Yeah. It's great for people that are still building, but not necessary for people to continue to working them once they get to a certain point.
Yep.
For us, and I don't know, is this considered an industry standard? I don't think it is, but for us, we don't require anyone to work more than 32 hours a week. Generally, it's about like 28 to 30 they work, right, in our company?
So to be full-time in our company is 30 hours.
Okay.
With that being said, our top earners work usually 24 hours a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty, it's actually incredible to see what they can do in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I find right now that, you know, what we do is very, very hard. It's difficult to stand on your feet all day long, oftentimes on concrete floors. You know, just the emotional piece of it alone.
The social aspect, like, you come home and you're just, like, don't want to talk to anybody because you're completely, emotionally, mentally drained.
Yep.
And, like, we respect that. Like, we're not going to make you work 40 hours a week, because I feel like that's kind of, like, where burnout comes into play. Like, if you're burnt out, it's because you're doing all that and taking on too much.
So, I would say, yeah, flexibility and balance would be the fourth thing that got us to where we are today. You know, not being afraid to, you know, lose out on Saturdays. At one point, we were open 7 days. And then we found that Sundays are a bad fit for us. We're closing, you know.
Sundays are for God and family.
Yeah.
Sup, Jesus. And I guess let's just bring it back to what we were talking about earlier, just being able to provide opportunities to people. So I feel like we have, like, a lot of roles that we give people within our company once they can prove to us that they have, like, leadership skills.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we have mentors that mentor other people. And I feel like that giving other people purpose within the company has truly...
Yeah, we love to promote from within, and our team does love that. They all want to be part of a bigger picture with Privé, not just coming in and doing hair.
I think that a big part of it is the opportunity that's given within. And even just the, like, for me as a leader, and I feel like when I think about some of the things that I'm most proud of, it's just the opportunity that has been given to not only, like, you, like, obviously you becoming an owner was huge for us. Like, that was like, this is an amazing thing that I was just able to help my best friend do and accomplish. Like, that's massive. And I'm sure you feel the same way. Mm-hmm. And then we recently did it again with another team member. And honestly, we would be open and down to have a conversation with anybody in our company specifically. There's been times before where we've been approached by people who are not part of our company about partnering and doing things, and it just never felt right. And I'm not saying I'll never do that, but it just hasn't felt right up until this point. But I think being able to provide that opportunity to team members is, like, huge. I think that our team sees that there's additional opportunities ahead. If they ever had something they wanted to pursue, they're comfortable to come to us.
I was going
to
say,
talk about that.
Yeah, it's always, like, so great for them to come to us and be like, hey, if there's anything that you're, like, looking to take off your plate, like, I'd be happy to help out. Yeah. I love when that happens. Yeah. It's awesome. But even, like, from our stylists that work with personal associates or apprentices, they are always so, like, I feel like they feel so accomplished when they get somebody on the floor and they're successful. You know, they're the person that kind of, like, had a hand in helping them grow and learn all the things that they're now doing on their clients, too.
I think 100%. And I feel like even just the trust that our team members have with us to, you know, I can go from the trust with the people who have left to open suites, whether it was with us or not with us. They've always been comfortable enough to come to us and talk to us about what their goals and aspirations are, which has only allowed us to support that in turn, which has been great for the most part. But then also, like, I think back to you and to Dana, and I'm like, Heather and I weren't the ones that came to you guys.
No.
You know, like, we weren't like, hey, we want to open a salon. Do you want to be a partner?
Yeah.
It was like you came to us and were like, I want to open a salon. Will you partner?
I specifically remember, like, going, maybe I was getting married and I was like, dude, when I get married, like, you're done. I'm coming for both of you. Like, we're doing this. And you were like, all right, buddy,
let's do it.
Fine.
Saddle up.
Yep. And then Dana, the most recent one, you know, I think all three of us were ready for a financial investment break.
Oh my goodness. Dana was a shock.
There was ever time.
Dana coming was a complete shock for us, I feel like, because we all three of us had agreed, like, all right, we're going to slow down a little bit.
Sit tight,
you know.
We had just gotten through the suites, which was a huge investment. Financial investment.
So we were ready to take a break, and then, guys, can I come in for a minute? Yeah, Dane, what's up? Guys, I'm ready to open a salon, and I'm doing it with you.
That's exactly how it went too.
And we were just like, I just remember having this look on my face, like this big smile, but like I was terrified on the inside. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, like I don't want her to see how scared I am right now and how I'm so not ready to do this right now. Because I'm so happy for her that she came to, like, she got to that point in her career and she came to us and wants to include us with it. But the minute she closed the door, I just looked at Monica and I was like, oh my God, like, what are we going to do? And then I think we immediately called you and got you on the phone and we're like, all right, let's go. We're doing it again.
But honestly, listen, we don't, if it makes sense, if it is something that feels right, if it's specifically with somebody on our team, we're always going to, you know, try to figure it out. If it feels good, we will try to figure it out. And that's all I can say. Like, I can't say I'm always going to be able to figure it out. But that, you know, we needed to do that. There was no way we were not going to do that.
Well, I think one of, like, the trends with us, too, is, like, the more fearful we are of something, the more we want to embrace it, like, head on. Yeah. We have that, like, I was scared to death to open another salon. But I wasn't passing up on that opportunity because Dane is a great person to partner with, and we just knew.
Yeah, she has it.
Yeah.
That all kind of like
built
fell
from
in,
within. She's privé to the core, and there was no way we were going to pass up on that opportunity. But I do feel that the opportunity piece, you know, being the fifth reason why people stick with our company or why we've gotten to where we've gotten is because they see that there's more than just being a stylist behind a chair, if that's something that you're interested in pursuing.
Yeah. Right.
So I think the five most important things that helped grow our team from 8 employees to over 80 employees, it starts with culture, absurdity, providing a successful blueprint, also flexibility and opportunities for growth and roles within our salon company.
Yeah, true that.
They were our top five.
Yep. If you found this info valuable, please like and subscribe.
And we'll keep the content coming.